All right. Welcome, you guys. I really appreciate you coming. It's been a couple of weeks since I've seen some of you with the holiday and the wacky schedule last week. I apologize for that. Back on schedule Thursday night, 6 o'clock. I did a little bit of prayer and meditation on what we were going to do. By this point, you guys should have the majority of your inventory written. Your fear grid, your sex inventory, and your sex ideal. So we should have those things written and completed. If they're not, don't worry, but we definitely want to get those done. Tonight, I'm going to go ahead and go over pages 72 through 75, which is our fifth step. Now, I know we haven't transcribed it yet, but we're going to have a substantial break after tonight to give everybody time to transcribe, catch up on the inventory, and most important, make the appointment with your sponsor or step guide to do the fifth step. I know the holidays are coming. So through prayer and meditation, I came up with the date of January 8th is when we're going to return. And I would hope that all of you have completed your inventory, met with your sponsors, and done a 6 and 7, or at least contemplated it. At the end of the meeting tonight, I'm going to pull up a sheet on the step 6 and 7 instructions. A lot of the times it gets kind of lost in the 12-step process. I'm going to email that to you guys along with the recording from tonight, tomorrow morning, so that everybody will have their step 6 and 7 instructions. I found them very helpful. I suggest following them directly. Very enlightening when I did exactly what it said there. Now, from here on out, I know it seems like we've taken a lot of action, but we really haven't taken any action. Yes, we've shown up weekly. Yes, we've met in our homework groups weekly. Yes, we've done some writing. Hopefully, we're reading pages 84 through 88 each day. But from here on out, we're actually going to take some real action, and these steps are going to start to become external as opposed to internal. And why I'm bringing that up is that this is up to you guys. This is totally and completely up to you guys. How bad do you want it? How free do you want to be? What does recovery really look like for you? It's going to take effort. And the fifth step and the amends process are probably the most effort that you're going to put forth through this process. So that being said, the ball is in your court, and I would highly suggest that you invite God into each and every situation from here on out to the best of your ability. Going to talk about choosing someone to do a fifth step with tonight. You guys have a homework leader, a step guide that you've been going to. I'm not by any means mandating that you utilize that step guide or sponsor for your fifth step. It's solely up to you. I think the most important thing is that you feel comfortable, you feel safe, and you're willing to be honest. What I do ask is if you decide to go outside of the homework group to find somebody to do the fifth step with, please make sure that they've gone through the Big Book Awakening process. It's pretty important to go through this fifth step with someone that has done the Big Book Awakening process. All of us as step guides have our hands out. The easiest way is to coordinate a time with your step guide. We're going to have ample time to do that. I think it's almost a 4-week break because Christmas is coming, New Year's is coming, everybody has plans. So again, our next meeting after tonight will be on January 8th. And your job after tonight will be to transcribe the fifth step, ask yourself some difficult questions, and schedule your fifth step. And for those that aren't here tonight, they'll receive the email and hopefully they get the message. So speaking of action, we are on chapter 6, and the title of chapter 6 is Into Action. So like I was saying, we are going to get into some action. Please, Father, guide and direct us as we walk through this difficult process. Give us the willingness and the courage to reach out to the help that is right in front of us. Give us the willingness and the courage to complete this inventory, to invite you into our fears and our ideals, to give us this ability to forgive and to accept and to move forward. Help us to understand that without this particular step, we may not ever recover. Help us to remember how important this is and how we're surrounded by people who are willing to help. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, into action. So it says here, having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We've been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. When you transcribe, you'll write this in your book. It says, I don't write the fourth step to find out what I am. If anything, I'll find out what I'm not. I write inventory to find the things that block me from God. Nowhere does it say that I write inventory to feel better. That's pretty deep, pretty tough. So I'm not going through this process to feel better. I'm going through this process to remove the obstacles in my life that are blocking this relationship with my Creator that I'm trying to build. See, I've spent these last few months becoming aware of my disease, becoming aware of the circumstances and things in my life that are blocking me from growing closer to this entity, this power. And now I see some truth. So I'm going to open up to someone and I'm going to admit to myself, to God, and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs. We've admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. So it doesn't say that we're going to learn how to deal with our resentments. It says they're going to be cast out. Remember, we're not trying to dismiss anything here. We're trying to release it. We're trying to cast it out. Lifting it up to God. We don't want to carry this around anymore. Okay? So this is going to require some action on our part, which when completed will mean that we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. So one of the things we're going to do is we're going to look for what's objectionable in our lives through our fifth step, through the help of our sponsors or step guides, through the inventory we've written. And we're going to take a really hard look at the fear. This is probably underlying a lot of our defects of character. And it's probably the exact nature of a lot of those defects. So this is going to bring us to the fifth step in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we've done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There's no doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. So see, we've written a lot of things down. I learned so much about myself. I've talked about my fears. I create this new ideal. I've written down my relationship inventory. I put my resentments on paper. I did realizations. I actually came to admit that I was no better than this person. Why is that not good enough? Shouldn't that be enough? You see, I have a perception of myself and this idea of how I can fix the things in my life. And now you've got me put them on paper. So now I really see, now I know the answer, right? I just got to let go of this resentment. Well, what I haven't done is really invited God into this situation here. And humbling myself, the level of humility required to set up an appointment, to open up with somebody, to allow them to listen, to see what I'm not putting on paper or hear what I might not be saying, is this level of humility that I'm not really comfortable with. And what I'm doing through this process is I'm recognizing that I do not have the power to be free of this. I need help to be free of this. Going to somebody else is my first step. My second step, first step putting on paper, but the second step, reaching out to somebody. And most important, remember it says that the ex-problem drinker who is properly armed with facts about himself can get through to us within a matter of hours, right? So that's why it's so important to do this with somebody that's been through this process. Somebody that's done some self-searching, somebody that understands that a solitary self-appraisal is not good enough. Somebody that was humble and willing enough to go and sit down with another man or woman and pour their heart out to them. Willing to take advice, willing to listen to wisdom, willing to hold hands and pray, willing to cry a little bit, right? And most important, willing to point out what's really objectionable and take that to the next step of the process. Because I'll flip the tape. I'll change it. See, that's the problem. If I'm looking at this by myself without the help of somebody else, I'm going to kind of play it out the way I want it to play out, you know? I think when you've done this process enough times, it becomes easier and easier to see truth in a certain situation, sometimes without even writing, as long as you're willing to lift it up, talk to God, go make that amends. But where we're at tonight, we want to begin with taking what we put on paper, go sit down with someone. It's going to require an appointment. It's going to require sacrificing our time. It's going to require the better part of a day. Not easy. Simple, but not easy, like it says, right? Destruction of self-centeredness. That's what's required. That's what we're doing. All self-will and self-centeredness is, for me, is a life without God. That's all that is. If I had to simplify it. So this perhaps is difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. Right? We think we've done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There's no doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do so. So here's the best reason. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. The underlying all of this is always a drink. All my problems, all my fears, all the circumstances in my life that are unpleasant or uncertain. There's a drink underneath that. Sometimes I just don't see it. And if I skip this step, this vital step, I may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they failed. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but they hung on to some of the worst items in stock. Remember, we're here to disclose insalable goods, right? A business that never takes regular inventory usually goes broke. So we have to see what's worthy, what's not worthy, and we have to discard these things without regret. Difficult. You mean hanging on to a little bit of this stuff could cause me to drink again? Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're saying. And maybe some of us have been sober quite some time and we find ourselves back in workshop. How about we discard some of this stuff a little bit more, a little bit cleaner, a little bit better, right? So we can experience this joy and this peace that the program is promising me, right? So they only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves, but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty. In the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. All your life story, right? What is your life story? Well, I suggest when you go to your fifth step, let's focus on your resentments. Let's focus on your fears. Let's focus on your relationship and sex inventory, your ideal. And let God do the rest, whatever comes out. And that's what a good step guide or sponsor is going to do. They're going to ask some questions. So we write down anything that wasn't in our inventory that we thought we're going to take to the grave. So if you're kind of carrying something around, and, you know, confession is a very, very powerful aspect of spiritual growth. This is why it's important to feel comfortable with the person that you're talking to. Yes, you've been put in a group. Yes, you're in a workshop. And it was kind of delegated for you who you were going to be working with. I want to be very adamant about it. If you don't feel comfortable, please find somebody that you do. I'm confident that the people that are helping me in this workshop are very capable, very honest. They've all been through the work. They're humble. They're willing to help. And they all have really big hearts. I know that for a fact. And most important, anything you share with them will be held in utmost confidence, totally confidential. Because that's important to me. If I'm going to sit down with you and I'm going to pour my heart out and I'm going to tell you all my stuff, you better not be telling anybody. You know, I need to know that. I really do. So more than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He's very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. We talked about that in our third step, right? The actor, the director. If I could just wrest satisfaction out of the world, I would be okay. If you just did and said what I thought was right, I would be okay. If you could only love me the way that I think I deserve to be loved, I would be okay. So this stage character that I'm walking through life with, this is the one that I like my fellows to see. I want to enjoy a certain reputation, but I know in my heart that I don't deserve it. The inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his sprees. Coming to his senses, he is revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside himself. He hopes they will never see the light of day. He is under constant fear and tension, and that makes for more drinking. You see, that's the state we were in, actively drinking. And we're trying to overcome that, and this fifth step is a big, huge part of overcoming the disease of alcoholism, learning to live a sober life, and actually experiencing a recovered state. Psychologists are inclined to agree with us. We have spent thousands of dollars for examinations. We know but few instances where we have given these doctors a fair break. We have seldom told them the whole truth, nor have we followed their advice. Unwilling to be honest with these sympathetic men, we were honest with no one else. Small wonder many in medical professions have a low opinion of alcoholics and their chance of recovery. So you ask yourself the question, have I ever, you've been writing inventory for the last month or more. Have I ever been that honest with my shrink, my wife, anybody? Am I beginning to experience that, wow, I'm actually getting more honest in this little homework group than I've ever been with anybody. See, that's something. That's awesome. That's a level of humility that we're beginning to experience, right? And we would never do that in the shrink's office or in the priest's church or in our living room with our spouse. Why? Because I'm too concerned of you judging me. I'm too concerned of what you're going to think of me and how you're going to look at me. As soon as I get so honest and humble with you, I'm no longer protected by my fears and my delusion and everything that I'm hanging on to validate all these defects of character that I'm hanging on to, I'm carrying around, and I'm lashing out at the world. The minute that I get totally honest, tell you my whole life story, all these resentments I'm carrying around, what my fears are, how my sex relations have looked, how I've manipulated, how I've abandoned, how I've emotionally abused people. Now I'm vulnerable. Now I'm no longer stronger than you and better than you. As this occurs, self slides off. God moves in. Remember, we're not trying to achieve nothing. We want to receive this power. I don't have to give God permission. I just need to be in a state of like submission, surrender. Here he comes. And that's what this fifth step is about. So we must be entirely honest with someone if we expect to live long or happily in this world. Remember, this is a program of rigorous honesty. I think about that all the time. It's difficult to achieve rigorous honesty in my life. Little white lie here, little front over here. Let this fear take over here, lash out at you there. Not really tell you what's going on with me. Because I don't want you to judge me. I don't want you to not like me. And part of this process, I mean, I don't even know me most of the time. This is what has given me the ability to begin to know myself. And listening to fifth steps has given me the ability to know myself and to relate to other people that suffer from this same illness. So rightly and naturally, we think well before we choose the person or persons to whom this take this intimate and confidential step. That's what we're doing. This is a level of intimacy that we've never experienced. We are trusting these people to never repeat what we're about to tell them. So we're going to think long and hard about it. Those of us belonging to a religious denomination, which requires confession, must, and of course, will want to go to the properly appointed authority whose duty is to receive it. So if you are, I'm pretty sure Catholic would be the one, and you need to go to a priest for confession for your fifth step, feel free. That, I would say, would be the exception of going through this with someone that's been through the work. I'll leave that up to you. If you do that, I suggest you do both. Though we have no religious connection, we may still do well to talk with someone ordained by an established religion. We often find such a person quick to see and understand our problem. Of course, we sometimes encounter people who do not understand alcoholics. I think it's very important to do this with somebody who understands what you're going through. And what you're going to find is there's not many emotions, fears, or actions in your life that they have not either experienced or talked to somebody who has experienced it. And most important, they are completely and utterly unaffected by your circumstances, your inventory, and you pouring your heart out to them. So that's the reason why I can't go and do a fifth step with my wife. Right? I trust her. She knows me better than anybody. She knows me better than I know me. But see, she's directly affected if I'm to be honest, right? And we can't do that. It's so important to do this with somebody who is not directly affected. You get the most wisdom and the best advice from people who are not directly affected to whatever you are going through. That's been my experience in life. So if we cannot or would not rather do this, we search our acquaintance for a closed mouth, understanding friend. That's what we are, the step guides, the sponsors, the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. Perhaps our doctor or psychologist will be the person. It may be one of your own family, but we cannot disclose anything to our wives or our parents which would hurt them and make them unhappy. We have no right to save our own skin at another person's expense. Such parts of our story we tell to someone who will understand, yet be unaffected. The rule is we must be hard on ourselves, but always considerate of others. Okay? We're walking towards a goal here. Previous chapter told me that my life as an ex-problem drinker depends on my constant thought of others and how I can help meet their needs. One of the hardest lines in the book for me to comprehend. One of the hardest lines in the book for me to practice. Talk about practicing these principles in all of my affairs. If I live a life believing that my life depends on my constant thought of others and how I can meet their needs, imagine the type of man I would grow to be. Wow. So when we're doing this, we're going to be hard on ourselves. We're going to be considerate of other people. Okay. So notwithstanding the great necessity for discussing ourselves with someone, it may be one so situated that there is no suitable person available. If that is so, this step may be postponed only, however, if we hold ourselves in complete readiness to go through it at the first opportunity. All of you have someone around you that you can do this with. Do not use that line out of this book to bypass doing the fifth step. Why? Because you'll never do the fifth step. That's why. And it'll be the same when we get to the men's process. This is some action. This is up to you guys. What does it look like? So we say this because we are very anxious that we talk to the right person. It is important that he be able to keep a confidence, that he fully understand and approve what we are driving at. But he will not try to change our plan. But we must not use this as a mere excuse to postpone. When we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. Remember, third step decision, bottom of page 63. Next, we launched on a course of vigorous action. We're still on that course, vigorous action, right? The decision that we made a month and a half ago is going to have little or no permanent effect unless it's at once followed by strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things inside of me that are blocking me from this power of God. That's what we're doing. Why do I need to be free of what's blocking me? Well, because I'm about to go out and make restitution and amends to people that I feel have harmed me my whole life. That's why. That's what we're walking towards. I can't effectively go and help somebody. I can't transmit something that I don't have. If I'm hanging on to an amends that I haven't done, how can I take somebody through the work? If I'm sitting on some resentment that I don't want to really take a look at, how can I help somebody go through a resentment inventory? These are things for us to consider. So we're wasting no time. We've written an inventory. We're prepared for a long talk. Better part of a day, guys. That's what you should plan. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. So why do I have to do this? What am I about to do? Look, man, I'm working this program of recovery. I'm trying to establish this relationship with God, but my whole life has been driven by self. I'm full of fear. I'm carrying around resentments. I've treated people horribly, and I need to be free of this if I'm ever to recover. This is life and death for me. Would you help me? Would you be so kind as to sit with me and hear my inventory? See, we don't make you go and say that to your sponsor or your step guide, but there's nothing wrong with that. And that's what the book tells us to do. I was kind of told that before I came into Big Book Awakening. You know, go read the book. What does it say to ask me? How are you supposed to ask me? What does this mean to you, man? Right? Something I will never forget after my first fifth step. 2019, towards the end of 2018, man named Joe Steele stuck his hand out, looked me dead in the eye, shook my hand and said, "Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous." One of the greatest feelings I ever had. Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. Why? Because I finally took some action. Right? So we're going to explain to our partner what we're about to do. Why do we have to do it? He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. This is no joke. Most people approach in this way will be glad to help. They'll be honored by your confidence. Guarantee you they will be honored. So what do? We're going to pocket our pride and we're going to go to it. We're going to illuminate every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. And once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. All of us are like, what's the spiritual experience? This awakening. And I told you months back, like, don't try and look for it. It's happening. Just walk through this work. Trust in God. Clean house. And now these spiritual beliefs that you're building are going to transfer to a spiritual experience that you are living. And the first step in that process is going to be this fifth step. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. Strongly, right? This mental obsession is going to disappear. For some of us, it's gone already. Some of us are revisiting this work. God bless you for doing that. I will tell you right now. Digging deeper. Allowing more to be revealed. There is so much power in that. There is so much humility in that. Knowing this process, this program, been around for a while, I want more. That is awesome, right? And for any of you that haven't been through it or are still on the fence and back and forth at times about drinking or drugging, just continue to walk forward. Continue to walk forward. The mental obsession will be relieved. So we feel we're on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. And that's what we're doing. We're on this broad highway. And once we sit down with somebody else and we start to get really honest and we're willing and we're humble, we begin to walk hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. We talked about it. We agnostics crossing over this bridge of reason to the desired shore of faith. And that's kind of what we're looking at. This is the desired shore of faith. We're walking toward. We're trusting God here. We're at this place of, okay, this is what you're telling me to do. Okay, you say I'm going to grow. You say I'm going to be able to look the world in the eye. I'm going to have courage to make amends. I'm going to be willing to let go of my fear and what's objectionable in my life. Yes, that is the promise. It looks different for each and every one of us, but that is the promise. So that's what our book tells us about our fifth step. And the homework for this week will be assignment 19. 19 weeks, man. We've been together a minute. Transcribe it, read it, ask yourself questions. We're going to make our appointments. We're going to make our appointments. Our next meeting is going to be January 8th. And I hope that each and every one of you, there's not many left. So there's not many fifth steps to do. Call your step guide, set it up, coordinate. If you can do it face to face, do it face to face. If you can't do it face to face, they will be willing to meet you on a computer. I'm going to pull up the step 6 and 7 instructions just so that you guys can see. And then I'm going to email those to you so that we all have them. Before I do that, We're going to burn the ships. Okay. This is what we're doing here with this fist step, man. You're going to burn that ship. Right? We're walking to the promised land. We're moving forward. We're going to learn to forgive. We're going to learn to not forget, accept. We're going to learn to dismiss or release, not dismiss. Okay. So check this out and then I'll show you guys that sheet and then we'll wrap it up. All right, that's what we're doing, guys. We are burning the ship. We're stepping into a new day, okay? Stepping into a new day. I'm going to show you this sheet here. Take a look at it. I'll be emailing this to you guys. So this is the fifth step consideration. So for the step guides in the room, I think it's only Pat and Mercedes, and they know they've done this many a times. No other step guides are here tonight. But what we're going to do is we're going to ask you if you see what's objectionable in this interaction, this behavior, selfishness, attitude. Do you see on your own power how you couldn't have behaved differently? And do you see any behavior or resentment you're still clinging to? And your guys' is step six consideration after this. Reason I'm showing you this, I'm going to email this to you. We're having our appointments. We're going to do our fifth steps. We're going to meet on January 8th. We'll talk about a little bit about six and seven. Six and seven is between you guys and God. Okay. Use this sheet as a guide. Can you see what's objectionable about this interaction? You're looking at each resentment. This is after you're done with your fifth step. Can you see on your own power that you couldn't have behaved any differently or done any differently? Very important. Why? Because that's gonna show me that if God's not involved, I'm gonna behave the same and I'm gonna feel the same. Is there anything you're clinging on to that you're unwilling to let go of? Do not be afraid to admit that. There's directions in the couple paragraphs we'll read on the 8th of what to do. Don't lie to yourself about that. Am I willing to turn to God for all these to find objectionable from now on? This isn't a one-time deal. Oh, and there's the note. If you're clinging, pray for the willingness. If you're still clinging, don't do step seven until you talk to your sponsor. Okay? And then take a look at Tyler's walkthrough of step six and seven. Okay, you're going to find a quiet place where you can be alone, put your resentments in front of you, pick one, glance at it, put it down, make notes. What am I turning over to God? In a meditative way, ask the four questions above, repeat each one for each inventory. Read to God the first column, the fear grid. Ask from your heart to take the fear from me. Let it have power over my life. Say a prayer. Repeat with your sex inventory. Read God your ideal. Picture this archway, right? Remember the cement that binds us on page 17. Remember the cornerstone on page 42. Remember the keystone on page 62, right? Picture yourself walking through the archway to be with God now. And there's our seven-step prayer. Okay, so this is kind of a template. Because like I said, six and seven are the most glaze over steps in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Why? Well, there's only two paragraphs. We'll talk a lot about it on the eighth, as much as God can channel through me to you guys. But I will email you this. I'm also going to email the recordings. Our next meeting will be on January 8th. There's a lot of people that aren't here tonight. I don't know. So step guides, if you want to reach out, I'll be emailing the recording. I'll send a WhatsApp text and let everybody know when our next meeting is and that they're to make their appointments. But us as step guides and sponsors, ultimately it's up to you guys. We're not going to hunt you down. We're not going to chase you down. We're offering our services. We love you. We want to help you and we'll be here for you. So ultimately, it's up to you. And from here on out, the amount of action that you put into this process is what you're going to get in return. That's just how it's going to work. You want a real spiritual experience? Get busy. You want to be close to God? Get on your knees and pray. Open that book every day. Be honest in your inventory. Be thorough in your fifth step. Find some willingness to make these amends, all of them, right? This is going to end fast after this, guys. This is going to go. There's going to be about 4 weeks after we meet in January, and that's it. God bless you. You're on your way. Find somebody to help. That's what we do. Okay? So I love you all, and I'm so glad that those who did show up showed up, and I will see you on January 8th.